Rivers, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, good evening. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, Truth is Our Bitch. And Margaret, someone that you admired very much has passed on.
Yes, Roger Ebert.
That's a guy that, well...
Don't you say it, bud, because I will hit you. You know I mean it.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
What are they going to do?
He was going to talk about Mr. Ebert, who had the cancer, and that affected, obviously, his facial appearance. He did not get the recommended prosthetic type surgery that people generally get. He decided, this is me, this is the way it's going to be, and he went through life. And I remember I criticized him a little bit for that.
Well, you thought it was very jarring to see someone look that way, and... Well, I don't...
No, we're not going to make any jokes, okay?
Then why are you...
We're not going to make any jokes. I'll belt you. Legendary film critic Roger Ebert has died at the age of 70, reports the Chicago Sun-Times. On April the 2nd, Ebert revealed on his blog that his cancer had returned and that he would be reducing his reviewing duties at the Chicago Sun-Times. Ebert wrote that he would be taking a leave of presence. That's a very interesting term. Where are my glasses, please?
I don't know.
Well, did you steal them?
They're in your pocket. Oh, baby.
You don't see that, Mustache?
I'm sorry.
Woo! They were in your... That's like Laurel and Hardy when the man put the hat on.
Yeah, when he put it on.
Do you mind if I do it? That's like Laurel and Hardy. That...
I'm just putting my glass on. Go ahead.
Never mind.
Like Laurel and Hardy what?
When he put the little guy's hat on...
Yeah, and then he put on a big hat.
Would you...
Watch it. Bud, why don't you shut up? Anyway, Ebert wrote that he would be taking a leave of presence as he underwent radiation treatment, but it appears the cancer had gone too far already. It means I'm not going away. My intent is to continue to write selected reviews, but to leave the rest to a talented team of writers handpicked and greatly admired by me. What's more, I'll be able at last to do what I've always fantasized about doing, reviewing only the movies I want to review. Now, the 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed with thyroid cancer in the year 2000, and cancerous growths were found on his salivary glands a year later, forcing him to undergo surgeries that left him without an ability to speak. Ebert began working at the Sun-Times as a film critic exactly 46 years ago, and so that would mean he'd been 24 when he went to work there, and became a household name after winning the Pulitzer Prize in 1975 and hosting several movie review TV shows with Richard Roper and the late Tribune film critic Gene Siskel. That was the show that I remember, the Siskel and Ebert show. Was it Siskel and Ebert?
No, it was, yeah.
Bud, you don't know, so be quiet.
Why are you talking, man? Shut up.
It was Siskel and Ebert, yeah. I wonder why Siskel got the top billing. That show, I really liked that show, because Siskel and Ebert... It was the first film criticism show of its kind. I don't really remember seeing a show like that. I do remember seeing film critics like the guy on the Today Show, Gene...
Rayburn.
Why don't you shut your...
Hey!
I'm going to kick his ass.
Gene Rayburn. Gene...
I don't know, man. Gene Tennis?
Gene Tennis? What is it with you, guy? That guy played baseball. Rayburn was a...
He was a movie actor.
No, Gene Rayburn was not a movie actor. He was
I know he's... Well...
But I don't want to hear you. Gene Rayburn was the host of The Match Game and all. He was
like a game show host.
Game show host. Gene... Shalit.
What?
Gene Shalit.
Do you know that a shallot is an onion?
Wasn't that his name?
That's a food.
Right here, yeah, see? Dan agrees. Gene Shalit.
Oh, it wasn't Gene Shalit. If it was Gene Shalit, my name is Bob.
Told me not to say nothing.
I'd just rather you didn't.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Never mind. The 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed... My name is Bob.
What's so funny about that?
Because there's a lot of people...
All right.
Ow!
Yeah, that felt good.
That stings.
Right. Roger Ebert The 70-year-old film critic was first diagnosed with thyroid cancer back in 2000. He began working at the Sun-Times when he was 24 and became a household name after winning the Pulitzer in 75 and hosting the movie review show with Gene Siskel. Though Ebert was best known for his film review program, his cancer and subsequent inability to speak didn't stop Ebert from doing what he loved, writing columns, reviewing movies, and connecting with his readers. In recent years, he's built a huge audience on Facebook and Twitter where he frequently comments on a wide variety of topics. Cancer took Ebert's ability to talk, eat, or drink, but he refused to be pitied after all he'd been through. In a lengthy 2010 profile, Esquire writer Chris Jones noted the following scene. There's no need to pity me, he writes on a scrap of paper one afternoon after someone parting looks at him a little sadly. Look how happy I am. Roger Ebert had the most watched thumb in Hollywood. With a twist of his wrist, the Pulitzer Prize-winning critic could render a decision that influenced a nation of moviegoers and could sometimes make or break a film. A heavy-set writer in the horn-rimmed glasses teamed up on TV with Gene Siskel to create a format for criticism that proved enormously appealing in its simplicity, uncomplicated reviews that were both intelligent and accessible. Very true. This is the profile in AP that was done of Roger Ebert. Now, he did not have the prosthetic surgery that would have filled out that jaw. And if you see pictures of him, it's quite shocking to see Roger Ebert in with the lack of a jaw, literally. So, you know, his face is contoured in a very strange way, and one that probably a lot of people would find unpleasant. As he said in that line, "Don't pity me," as people are giving him these weird looks. But he refused to have that surgery because he felt, "Hey, this is how I am. This is how I am. This is how I look." You know, I remember I criticized him for it. I said, you know, you've got to have a little respect for, not respect so much as sensitivity for the people around you. And if you have the money and you have the ability to, make it so that your physical appearance is not quite so shocking to people, then why not do it? But you know what? I've changed my mind. I figure people can just damn well get used to it, man. You know, we live in such an age of veneer. I mean, it always has been, but so I liked that show. I liked him. I liked Siskel and Ebert. I liked. I didn't like the other guys, though.
Well, what about, you know, a lot of those shows, like the Harris show? Do you remember him?
There was a Bill Harris. Yeah.
Yes, Bill Harris was always smiling. My name is Harris, and do, and I wanted to punch him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, there was a Bill Harris show, and there was some other. There were a lot of the film critics wanted to try that two-man thing.
What'd that guy Bill Harris do?
He did a film review show. Are you a complete idiot, or are you listening in snatches? What's going on?
What do you mean, snatch?
Yeah, see, she gets to say snatch.
She didn't say snatch. She was listening in snatches. I hit you once, I'll do it again. I don't care if they call the cops. I don't care what.
I'm just trying to say.
Then if you don't know anything about it, shut up. We're talking about an era and a bunch of people that you guys don't know anything about, so just be quiet. Okay?
Why do all those guys get cancer?
Why do all those guys get cancer? You mean the film review guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they smoke. Maybe they drink. Maybe it's got nothing to do with being a film critic.
Well,
just because Siskel got cancer doesn't mean that there's something having to do with being a film critic. Don't be such an idiot, bud. Just one day out of the year. Just one day out of the year. Let's make it today. You act like you got about 14 cents worth of brains, to misquote my father, who said 5 cents.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, Ebert's hometown embraced the film critic, hosting the annual Ebert Fest Film Festival and placing a plaque at his childhood home. Ebert also was embraced online in the years after he lost his physical voice. He kept up, as we mentioned, his Facebook, his Twitter accounts with more than 800,000 followers and a blog, Roger Ebert's Journal. And he pissed off a whole new generation of people with that one. But like I said, I really liked the guy. Here's an example. It's a slideshow showing Roger Ebert, and the slideshow kicks off with him in the peak of health. He's heavy, and it's the old Roger Ebert. Now, That's how people prefer to remember him, you know?
Well, yes, because he was healthy then.
But why don't they have a picture of him where he's got no jock?
Because he doesn't... They want to show him...
Because they want to show him when he was healthy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Roger Ebert, as I said, with that film show, the review show he did with Gene Siskel, that's the first time I ever watched a show like that where they were... You could tell these guys really liked movies. That was the thing that I liked about the show, that Ebert and Siskel, they liked movies. I could tell that they were rooting for the movies that they were reviewing. They wanted them to be good. And when they had to review a movie that sucked, they looked disappointed. You know, like, ah, man, this movie sucks because this, that.
What review did they give Star Wars?
Yeah.
Probably a good one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's possible they might have given it a bad one, right?
Well, they did the thumbs up and thumbs down thing, you know. Speaking of that, we're going to have Doug Danger on here in a few minutes to talk about Roger Ebert. And Doug, of course, picked up on the thumb up, thumb down. He was the guy that pioneered one gay thumb up.
Is that Doug? I didn't know who did that.
That's Doug Danger. Doug Danger's one gay thumb up, two gay thumbs down. He did we'll talk to him about it, but he did a multiple thumb thing. He would say one gay thumb up, but three gay thumbs down. Take it easy, man. We'll be back with Doug Danger to talk about the passing of Roger Ebert and other news here tonight. The world famous... Oh, by the way, my thanks to Bobby Dooley. My thanks to, of course, Art Bell. My thanks to Steve Bozell. God, there's a multitude of people to thank filling in for Phil Henry here in the last few days. In the days to come, as we take some time off, R.C. Collins has been tapped as a guest host. He said yes. We were in negotiations with him and his dad. We've settled on a number that they happen to be, they're satisfied with. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Go.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and a word about the Phil Henry website. For $9.99 a month, if you think about it, the Phil Henry website has over 15 years of material. Now, if you think about that, and of course, the present-day material, the podcast, and so forth, that means there's two shows a day that you can listen to. You can listen to the current show, and you could listen to one of the shows from the archives. Now, even if you never slept, if you never went to bed at night, it would still take you month after month after month after month of continuous listening to listen to everything that the Phil Henry website has to offer. And at the end of that experience, you would probably die from dehydration, lack of sleep, lack of food, and the obvious toxins that build up when you do not move your bowels. And
Whoa, hold on for a minute.
Will you let me finish, Phil?
I know, but...
Let me finish. So you can see that for $9.99 for 1 month, all that awaits you, including, yes, a very painful death, but if you get sleep and you eat and you take care of yourself, think of the number of years that you will have to enjoy the Phil Henry Show, the greatest radio show in the history of man on this earth, and the shows in the archives are absolutely stellar. They are loved by, well, they're loved by rank and file alike, the pedestrian people, well, with all due respect, you people, and celebrities, some of whom I would like to name, but I better not, Glenn Beck.
All right, okay.
But listen to the Phil Henry Show. Get a backstage pass.
All right. www.philhenryshow.com. Why'd you go Glenn Beck?
Because I didn't, you know.
All right. Yeah, go over to our website, grab a backstage pass. We would be very appreciative if you did. On the line with us from, actually, Pacific Coast Highways, traveling on his way to the Cambria Film Festival tonight, is Doug Danger. And, Doug, it's good to be with you. I know that you have you got a big night tonight. You're also going to be, what am I hearing there in the background?
I don't know, Phil. Right now I'm having a hard time because I decided to take my brother's bike, and it's cutting out. I'm getting a lot of... Like the plugs are dirty on this thing or something. I'm going to have to pull it over and see what I can do about either I'm going to have to replace the plug or something, or I can't believe this.
You're on PCH on your brother's motorcycle.
Yeah. But for some reason, this thing is, the plugs are dirty or something. Hey, you. Hey, you. Help me push this over. But I'm prepared to do the report, Phil, but I'm on my way to the Cambria Film Festival tonight, as you were mentioning, because there are some first runs that I want to get a review in on to get into the Orange County Courier tomorrow morning. There's a friend of mine that has a film to be opening tomorrow night, Marissa Gone, who has a film called The Flood. Have you heard about this?
What's her name?
Marissa Gone. G-O-I-N. And she is a tremendous filmmaker. I'm sorry, yeah. Well, I start the thing up, you know, and I've got the guy right here. Yeah, fix it, will you? I'm just talking to the guy from the gas station.
Well, it's pretty late at night, man. Is there a film you're going up tonight to catch?
Yeah, what time is it?
Well, on the West Coast, it's 10:20.
Oh, you gotta be... God! Man, fix that, man. I think the plugs are dirty. I missed Marissa. Tomorrow night she's going to be running this thing, so it's all right. But I didn't want to miss it tonight. Because her husband's going to be, there's a bunch of people that are going to be there. Oh, well.
So you missed the showing tonight. Well, let's talk, though, while we have this moment, while you're getting your bike worked on.
Now, my brother's bike. And I'll tell you something. If I can't get this thing, I sure as hell don't want to call him up and have him have to come up with a tow. I mean, with a trailer. Anyway, I know you wanted to talk about the passing of Roger Ebert, and I do too, Phil. And the first thing I want to say is Roger Ebert was... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so this is a big admission for me as a gay man, gay journalist. Roger Ebert was a role model for me, and I think he was straight, but I don't mean to.
Let's not talk about what he was. I don't know.
No, I don't want to do that. But I'm saying I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Whatever Roger Ebert wanted to be, he was not a gay man. I don't know if he's a gay man, but I'm a gay man. And he was a role model for me as a writer. He was a role model for me as a person, because I thought he was very honest. He had a great, you call it, his blog was fantastic. And I felt that the blog was something that kind of allowed him to what you doing with it now, man? What are you doing with it now, man?
I'm upsetting.
What? Yeah, what is it?
Doug.
Sorry. Hold on. What?
That's carburetor.
Carburetor? Bull crap. No way. No way. No way. This guy's trying to... Easy, easy, easy. Easy! What do you think that is, man? Ain't no talking toy.
No, it's not a carburetor.
Hey, man. Oh, just one second, Phil. I'm sorry.
Come on, Doug. Every time I'm on the phone these days with people...
One second. Hold on. Hey, buddy. Hey, you. Don't tell me that bike is almost brand. My brother rebuilt that carburetor, huh? I don't know, this guy.
You know, Doug, if I were you, I'd be nicer to the guy, man. Where are you?
I said I'm up 4 miles south of Cambria.
Well, dude, you're up on PCH. I don't know, be nice to the guy.
What do you mean, be nice to the guy? If the bike don't work, the bike don't work. I'll spend a night sleeping on the side of the road or something. I don't know what I'll do. There's a motel down here or something. But anyway, Roger Ebert, for me, Phil, was a great role model. As a writer, and everybody knows that it was Siskel and Ebert, they did the thumb up thing. Remember that? One thumb up, two thumb. You know that?
Yes, exactly. And your gay thumb, you modeled that on them?
Well, I mean, I didn't model my gay thumb on it, because the gay thumb, I did. What do you want? Yeah, up yours.
Doug, where are you?
I'm at a gas station, man. I'm at a gas station. I'm Doug Dangle. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you think I'd be? What's so funny, man?
Where do I think you'd be? I think you'd be at your newspaper, if you're telling me you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I'm out, about, I'm doing my job, I'm writing, I'm getting the story. Well, look at that. Some guy almost got run over here. What the hell's going on out here tonight, man? So anyway, what I'm trying to do, Phil, is make my way up to Cambria Film Festival. But like I said, I got this guy who's going to put the carburetor back. You figured it out yet, man? Have you figured it out yet?
Come on, Doug.
What's the matter?
Are you doing a report for me? Are you getting your bike fixed?
Whoa! What are you doing? Hey, hold on. I took my bike out there. That's my brother's motorcycle. Phil, Roger Ebert, for me, was a guy.
Oh, man, how many times you got to rep? Hold on, I got to go talk to this guy.
We'll be right back. I apologize. We have Doug Danger with us. We're going to talk about Roger Ebert and only Roger Ebert when we come back and how he came up with the thumb up thing, the gay thumb up. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Would you come on, bud?
Hey. Come on, man. That ain't your little sister tricycle, man. Huh? Hey.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. We've had Doug Danger with us on the line from just south of Cambria, California this evening. He was on his way up to the Cambria Film Festival tonight and is talking to us about the passing of Roger Ebert, but he also had a problem. He's on his brother's motorcycle tonight. Doug, you've ridden that all the way up from Orange County?
Yeah, well, I came up this afternoon. I stopped off and talked to some of the guys. I know some of the guys there at the L.A. Times Bureau there in Ventura. I wasn't too far away from you. But then it was here about, maybe 5 minutes before I went on the air with you. I felt the bike was missing a bit. I thought maybe the plugs were gone bad on it. I got it over here at this gas station. You don't want me to mention the gas station?
Well, I don't care if you tell me where it is. I don't want you know.
No, I'm not going to say that. You mean the brand of gas?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that. It's just Shorty's, right?
Yeah.
Shorty's. He does automotive repair and everything else, but this guy's telling me all about how he knows bikes. You tell me you know bikes.
Just give me a chance.
Yeah, I'll give you a chance, but what I'm going to do, Phil, is test ride it.
Doug, we're here to talk about Ebert.
I know. I swear to God. I swear to Almighty God that I'm going to talk about it. If you just let me see this thing, man. Fire it up, okay? Phil, I swear to God, I'm going to let you know. Let me hear it. Let me hear it, man. Rev it, man. I don't know. Let me try it. I'm going to try it out here. I'll be right back, Phil. This guy here, what's your name, man?
Ward.
It's Ward? This is Ward, Phil. Hold on.
Yeah.
Who is this?
My name is Ward.
Hi, Ward. How are you? It's Phil Hendry.
Hi.
Now, that's the guy I'm interviewing there. Can you tell me what's wrong with the bike?
Oh, yeah. He's got dirt in the fuel line. He was taking it off-road. That's what he told me he was doing anyway. There he goes again.
Yeah!
Is that a Harley?
Yeah.
And he was taking it off-road.
That's what he said he did, yeah. So he had dirt. He had a problem. Yeah, he did have a problem. See that? He's doing exactly what he told me not to do. He told me not to do that. The phone, man. Hey, Phil?
Yeah, just...
5 more minutes. Hold on. You told me not to do that. Mind your own business. God... I'll be right back.
Woo!
Yeah, see, he's riding around out there, and I told him that he had to be more careful, but he took it off-road. The carburetor is... And yeah, the plugs are dirty, but there was filth, dirt. What are you trying to do? Trying to kill somebody?
You know how to fix this thing, man.
I did. I did fix it.
Do it right, man. Fix it right.
Look at that. Yeah, Phil, hey, listen. 2 more minutes, I swear to God.
No, I'm going to hang up, man.
Just 2 more minutes, man. Don't be such a homophobe. Yeah, see, he's... There we are. Yeah, he's not doing the right thing with the motorcycle.
I apologize, and I know that we're on the air right now, and we were supposed to do an interview, and what happened, I don't know what happened, but apparently he...
Hold on. You're gonna ruin it. You're gonna ruin it.
Tell me what to do, man.
Woo!
Hear that?
Now, see, that's the way it's supposed to sound. This way it's not... Listen to this. What'd you do to it, man? No, that's not right.
Yeah, I know it ain't right. What'd you do to it?
God, hold on, Phil. I gotta take one more chance with this thing. Hold on. Let me just... Yeah.
I'm going to let you go. Your name's Ward?
Yeah, my name is Ward, yeah. He'll come back here in a second, but he's acting like an ass. He's acting like an ass. He's doing wheelies.
Wheelies? What? All right, tell him that when he comes back, all right? Ward, are you there?
Hold on. Yes, sir.
When he comes back, you tell him that his friend Phil had to go, that I cannot... What was that?
Well, he was right here waiting for the phone.
Well, when he comes back, give him the phone, okay?
Yes, sir.
But... I tell you what, tell him that when this guy...
Oh, hold on. What happened?
Nobody knows how to drive around here!
He almost got hit by a car.
Tell him when he comes back that his friend Phil could no longer wait, that I'm not going to sit here... What's going on, man?
Hold on for a minute. The man wants to talk to you.
Hold on!
The man wants to talk to you.
Never mind.
Oh, my God. That sounds to me like he's gone half mad.
God, going out there riding like an idiot.
I don't know what's up with him. You know what the problem is? The problem is he's got his brother's bike, so he doesn't really care. The guy just told me he took it off-road. He's got dirt in the fuel line. There's probably rocks rattling around in the carburetor. And he's acting like it's his bike. He's out there doing wheelies. Did you hear that?
What's a wheelie?
A wheelie is when you stand it up on the rear wheel.
Yeah, ain't you ever never seen it at a drag strip?
No, I ain't never seen it. God.
Well, you see it on a wheelie, though, right?
No, I don't know what a wheelie is.
It's when you make the wheels go up. So anyway, apparently what happened was, the motorcycle crapped out on him, so we have not been able to... Is that him?
Doug. Yeah.
Put some gas in it, man. Just put some gas in it. Just do me that much of a favor, man. Put some gasoline in it. That guy, you know how to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, put some gas in it. I'm waiting to be on the radio.
Doug!
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry.
Yeah, are we back now? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I just told the guy to gas it up. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to leave my bike with this guy because I know what's going to happen. You know, this guy, I'm going to come back in the morning and the bike will be useless. And I did what I did. I just did a couple of test runs. I think it's okay, but...
All right, can we talk about the Roger Ebert passing?
I'd be more than happy to.
Roger Ebert died, and...
No?
Well, tell me a little bit about what he meant to you.
Well, as I told you, I think Roger Ebert was a guy that had... I think he was a guy that had... Yeah, you too, pal. He was a guy that I think had an enormous impact on a lot of journalists like myself, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But his impact on me, it gave me the courage, I think, to be a gay man and a gay journalist. It didn't give me the courage to come out, because I knew I was coming out of the closet. And I knew I wanted people to know that I was a gay man and a gay journalist, but he gave me the guts that it took to say I was a gay man and a gay journalist. And then the other thing that he did is he gave me the guts to do something that I'd wanted to do for a long time, and that was to do one gay thumb up, three gay thumbs, well, you know.
Yeah, the gay thumb.
Yeah, in doing my film reviews, because when I saw him doing his thumb up, thumb down, and I saw Gene Siskel did it too. So Siskel, he gave Siskel the opportunity to have the glory from the thumb up, thumb down thing. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was by somebody else. That was my bike. That's not my brother's bike. That was very generous of him to let Gene Siskel use the thumb up, thumb down. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows who came up with that?
He came up with it, man. Roger Ebert came up with it, but when he did the TV show, he allowed Gene Siskel... Hold on for a minute. Sounds like crap.
No.
Yeah, it does. It sounds crappy. How much do I owe you? Oh, man.
Okay, so Gene Siskel...
Yeah, let Gene Siskel... Gene Siskel was a guy that I think benefited from Roger Ebert because Roger Ebert gave Gene Siskel the opportunity, you know, to... gave Gene Siskel the opportunity to be on the show with him and to let him do, you know, what he was doing, which was basically, doing the movie review thing. Now, here's the thing that I think is so good about Roger Ebert was the fact that the thumb up, thumb down thing, I did use thumb up, thumb down, but I used thumb up, thumb down in my way, which was the gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around. That was mine. That was all mine. But I got, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I got that thumb run. No, it sounds crappy, man. It sounds crappy. I got that from Roger Ebert.
The gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around. What is that?
That was what we would say, what I would say, if the movie was good, gay thumb up. If the movie was bad, gay thumb down. If I wasn't quite sure, gay thumb go all around. Then I hit on the idea that I was going to have a mixed review. If I heard a movie that I thought was good in some respects, but it was bad in other respects, because I think the audience deserves to have a thorough review, Phil. And as a gay man with gay journalist, that's what I gave. So what I said was one gay thumb up, but four gay thumbs down. That was a more clear review, because you'd say, well, I'll give it a gay thumb up for the characterization, but four gay thumbs down because everything else was no good. You know, and I wouldn't have to say what it was because people would know, well, Doug is saying four gay thumbs down, so that must cover four separate things. And I guess I'm going to have to get up on my, get up off my rear end and go out and see the movie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Why do you keep starting the bike and turning it off?
Because I want to make sure the damn thing's fixed before I take it out here on the freeway. I don't want to die. You understand? God, man, you're not going to die. Are you telling me that, Ward? This guy's name is Ward. Do you love that? Is your last name Cleaver? Hey, you. Hey, buddy. Is your last name Cleaver? I said, is your last name Cleaver? Yeah? Is your wife's name June? Were you a little hard on the beaver last night, man? Hey, man. Hey, man.
You're on the air with me, Doug. Do you mind?
Sorry. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I just was trying to give the guy a hard time. Now, hold on. Here he comes now. Hold on for a minute. This guy's a crack-up. Hey, man. Were you a little hard on the beaver last night, man? Shut up. Here's your change. Thank you. Yeah, the guy, he's got no sense of humor.
You know, I don't know what's up with you tonight, man. You're acting really squirrely.
Why?
Because you got your brother's bike, you're blowing you're going up and down the road doing wheelies, and you're giving this guy you're giving him a hard time because his name's Ward.
Even you think it's funny, don't you? Here he comes again. Hold on for a minute.
Now, come on, Doug. I got to go. No.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hey, buddy. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. My name's Doug Dangler. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Huh? Because your name's Ward, right? Have you got a kid named Tony? Or not Tony. Have you got a kid named Wally? Hey, buddy. I'm just giving him a hard time, Phil, because... Never mind. Here he comes. Hold on. Hey, Ward. Ward. He's not even laughing.
You know something, man? You're really getting on my nerves, too. Okay?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You understand?
I don't... Get out of here, will you? Gay thumb up, gay thumb down, gay thumb go all around.
That is filthy. I know what he's referring to, and I won't comment on it, but why you stayed on the air with him as long as you did?
What did he do wrong?
None of your business.
But I will not say none of your business, because you know he's going to ask.
He didn't do anything wrong so much as he wasn't focused, okay, bud? I'm asking him questions. He's running up and down the street on his motorcycle. He's got this guy. Now he finds out that the guy that works at the gas station, his name is Ward, and so this is a whole new thing. I've never heard Doug so disorganized. It's almost as if he's high, but I know that can't be. Maybe it's just the fact that he's got his brother's bike for the night and he's decided that he's in an easy rider or something. I don't know what his trip is. All right, we'll be right back here, folks, with more news and more to come, forthcoming, other stuff. You know how it is. Right? Okay, cool. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins has signed a deal with the Phil Hendry Show to guest host, so we'll be talking with him about that when we come up next hour. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
man,
Hendry
sorry,
Show.
Huh? I'm sorry, man. Hey, how's Whitey, man? Hey, man, how's Lumpy? How's Lumpy?
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, we've got R.C. Collins, who, as I mentioned, has signed a limited deal with the Phil Hendry Show to be a guest host. He is the only one of our guest hosts that has actually negotiated for a flat fee. We had to deal with his father, so we'll be talking with him about that. We also have Dean Wheeler, who will be discussing what's been happening in the career end for Emerelda Wheeler, his wife. He's been managing her, trying to break her into not only a variety of club dates and getting a tour going for her, but eventually a recording contract. His wife, Emeralda, who originally had commenced a singing career on the occasion of Dean celebrating the release of a documentary that he'd done, and it's been completely overshadowed by her singing career. There was some nasty news associated with all of that, having to do with some domestic violence that Dean had not been involved in quite some time. So, you know, I hope we're not seeing the, you know, Margaret, I hope we're not seeing the decline and fall of Dean Wheeler.
Well, if a man has a history of domestic violence, as Mr. Wheeler did have, I don't care how many spas he opens. I don't care how much aromatherapy he's involved in. I don't care the holistic world and the new age world that he may be involved in. That man is a liability, and I think this is a lesson for a lot of people. You may have a history of drug running, violence, murder, rape. Just because you've opened up an aromatherapy shop or you're giving massages doesn't mean that you are rehabilitated.
But you know, a lot of people, why'd anybody think that?
A lot of people, Bud, think that if on the outside they look as if they're something special, that maybe on the inside they've changed, or maybe the guy's looking to con people. I don't know.
Well, just because you're giving facials, and if you'll pardon the expression, I don't want to hear anything from him. And by facial, I mean something you get in a spa, Bud.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bud. You understand? It's a massage. It's a
Yeah, I know what it is. You said you got one. One time?
I got a man's facial, okay?
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Woo! Ow!
Yeah!
God, man, is this a joke?
Don't joke like that.
Well, yeah, it's a very unfortunate word.
Why is that an unfortunate word?
You're talking about if you're going to a spa, you're going to get something healthy, and then you say, yeah, I'm going to get a facial. Man, you people are bound to think the wrong thing.
Oh, will you get out of here? They have at this place that I often go to out in the desert, they've got a cinnamon thing, and they recommend it for men, okay?
What is it?
Be quiet. I'm going to say the word. It's a facial. And what you do is they put on your face, I don't know, what do they call it, Margaret, a mask?
Yes, it's a mask. They put the cream on your face. Well.
Yay!
God, what a baby, man.
You're the one that's doing it.
Yeah, you're talking about getting a facial and they put a cream on your face.
Why don't you grow up? Just this day, as Phil said, just today, we'll make this grown-up day.
Everything with you guys, you're going, okay, a facial, it's something that you put on the face, it's to help rejuvenate, okay, and then you towel it off.
Uh-oh.
Man, even I'm going to start hitting you now.
You know, Bud, with you, everything's a double entendre. Everything with you is a double entendre.
I don't even know what that means.
Everything that's said has some sexual meaning. Everything that's said with you, you go...
You're the guy that's saying it.
I'm the guy that's talking about a spa treatment. Okay?
Every time Phil said towel off, well...
Don't say it, okay? Spa treatment, a lot of guys are ugly like me, okay? A lot of guys are ugly like me. Will you give me that?
Well, that much I will agree with.
Thank you. And so what they do is they take an ugly guy like me, go into the spa, just like the women go in there, okay?
Yeah.
And the women go in, and they get a facial. Oh, God.
Wow!
Get him out of here, will you?
Come on, man.
What are you doing?
Come on.
Get him out of here.
Give him a kick for me.
So in any event, you know...
So what did you do? You say that I know you're ugly, so what did they do?
Thank you very much for that.
Well, you're the one that said it.
Well, it's a cinnamon thing. And I think I mentioned getting this treatment or this spa treatment because they use cinnamon. It's like it burns, man, like it's a sunburn. And you'd swear to God, they put this mask on your face, and you swear your face is burning off. That's how hot and stinging this cinnamon thing is. And then when they wipe it off your face... And it feels great, because then your face feels really good. Now, I look in the mirror, I ain't any better looking, but I sort of, for a few seconds, I think I am.
Well, yes, exactly. So it's very healthy. Why are we on this topic?
Because you're saying just because of Dean.
Oh, yes. Well, because if Dean gave those kinds of facials, it doesn't mean he isn't a murderer.
Well, no one's calling him a murderer yet, okay? And I'm not even saying that the guy's guilty of spousal abuse, but some ugly stuff has happened. We'll be talking to Dean and Emeralda next hour. I don't know if we'll be talking to her. And we have coming up as well, R.C. Collins will be discussing with us his forthcoming guest hosting gig here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is live streaming video of our show, as well as a daily podcast of the show, as well as our thousands and thousands of hours of archive, and our new Classic Phil Hendry podcast, which up to this point has been free, is now behind the paywall, so you BSPs, that is yours. The most recent 25 are available on iTunes, and all of the others are premium content, so you must have a backstage pass now to listen to the first 120 of these classic podcasts that we have made available up to this point on iTunes. So get a backstage pass. There's a lot more that is going to be happening here in the days and in the weeks to come. And also, of course, the live streaming video content on our show, of our show, is available mobile on the iPhone, on the Android, on iPad, on a multitude of devices. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show videocast. We'll be right back. Next hour, R.C. Collins and Jay Santos.
Phil Hendry.